so good to be here. And our God is so amazing. He's so amazing. I was so overwhelmed when I was preparing for this study. It was like, Lord, you have to show me how to, what am I going to teach out of all this? It's so overwhelming. And of course, he is faithful, and he did. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's a familiar verse to many of you. So whoever has that, okay, can you read it really nice and loud?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new.
That is amazing in itself. But that new creation is something that we've been just diving deep into in Romans 8. I just love how God just keeps expanding what you know about him and what he wants. And yeah, it's amazing. The beginning, verses 1 through 4, we learned there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We have a new position. Yes. We're in Christ Jesus without condemnation. That's new. Then in Romans 8, 5 through 8 and 9 through 13, we have a new way of living. It was expanded on. I loved just listening to all of the studies that came before. So we have a new position and we have a new way of living. And this is real stuff. I love it because God is not just like theory. It's every day how we live. And he gives us the tools for that. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. So now in Romans 8, 14 through 17, we're going to talk about that we have a new relationship. So let's get started with that. Somebody's got Romans 8, 14. Can you read that, please?
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
That's right. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So, as many means all. Everyone that is led by the Spirit is a son of God. And we're sons, even if we're women. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. There's a verse about that, many verses about that. But I want to talk about being led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to open this up to anything that you have on this subject, too. How does the Spirit of God lead us?
By his word.
By his word. Absolutely.
Something that I've noticed in recent years is that God often directs me with his peace. When he gives me peace about something, then I can sense that is the direction he would have me take.
Right. That's so cool because you start recognizing it more as you walk that way. Yeah. So many ways he leads us. We could spend half an hour talking about that. But he renews our minds and opens our understanding. I remember when I started reading the Bible, or when I wasn't his, and I would try to read the Bible, it didn't make sense to me. And it's just amazing how he starts opening our understanding of his written word, and also our understanding of the word, Jesus. We start seeing him. We start knowing him better. It's just amazing. And another way that he does, he awakens our hearts. I thought about that as we were singing. It was beautiful. It was so the spirit here. And he just awakens our hearts to really praise him. You know, I used to be conscious about how I was praising him and was somebody listening to me and all that stuff. And it's so, yeah, it's so freeing to just not be there, but to be praising him because of who he is. And it just flows out and it expands. And sometimes you jump up and sometimes, anyway, it's so amazing. And not only when we're singing, but when we're talking. And I just keep praying that he would just more and more make me bold when I'm not with a receptive audience and just celebrating who he is. It's just so amazing. You know, sometimes I've walked down the beach and I'm singing to him. Mm-hmm. It's just so freeing. And that's his spirit. And he directs our will to obey God. And that is a beautiful thing too. And I don't envy the Holy Spirit that job sometimes. Personal experience recently, the Lord was laying something on my heart and I didn't want to let go of it. And he was just patient and he kept coming back to it, And it was unmistakable when I finally surrendered to him. And I'm so grateful for that because he knows everything that's happening. You know, he can see the future. He loves us so much. He can see what's good for us and what is the best for us. And that's what he wants. So I'm just really thankful for that. And he convicts us when that's needed. He teaches us. And the beautiful thing is that when we repent and come back, he restores us immediately. It's not like he's going like, well, what took you so long? But right there, he's just amazing. That's his love. So then revisiting what it said about sons, and everybody was kind of going, yes, daughters are sons too. So Galatians 3:28, who has that one?
Okay. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ.
Yes. He's talking about his people. Yes. And so when it says sons here, it applies to us as well. But it's important that it says sons, and I'll explain why. So Romans 8:15, who has that one?
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Wow. So let's talk about the spirit of bondage, the spirit of slavery. Under Roman law, and also sadly in the U.S. too, this was true in slavery. But under Roman law, during the times that Paul wrote this, slaves were considered property. They weren't people. They had no rights. They were denied citizenship, political office, and legal marriage. They were bought, sold, and mistreated at the will of their owner. They could be subjected to corporal punishment, sexual exploitation, or torture. Being in bondage, your life and treatment was at the will and whim of someone who had no legal restrictions. That would produce a fear. Just put yourself in that place for a minute. Just imagine that for a minute. Your everyday life was totally under the control of someone that had no restraints on what they did to you. So that's what Paul is comparing this to, that spirit of bondage. In John 8:34, it says, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." So that's one kind of slavery that we can be subject to. And in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage or slavery." So that's another kind of bondage, slavery to the law, to our own efforts, our self-righteousness, you know, all of that stinky stuff. Both of those things, whether we're sinning or we're trying to be legalistically good, we're afraid of God because he's the judge. We're not operating in his love. We're not operating with the Holy Spirit directing us. We're just trying to do it on our own, one way or the other. So that does lead to fear. But I love that little word. You receive the spirit of adoption. That's totally opposite. It's not of fear. Let's talk about adoption during Paul's time, though. He was writing this, we think of adoption as a child needing a family and a family adopting that child. They either lost their parents cannot care for them for some reason. So that's always how I had read that before until I started studying this. That wasn't what Paul was talking about. Adoption informally back then would happen with that kind of situation. Kids would be involved in a family, sometimes relatives, whatever. It wasn't legally done. What Paul's talking about here was under Roman law back then, often it was rich people, and it was always male, because by law, they were the only ones that could inherit. And they could only pass their inheritance to sons. So sometimes they didn't have a son, and they wanted a son to inherit. So that person would be of legal age. They wouldn't be a child. And they would choose them to give them their inheritance. Sometimes they did it because they didn't have a son. Sometimes they did it because they didn't want to pass all of the that they had on to the sons that they had. So they would choose a different one. Under Roman law, a father had the right to disown his biological children. He had the right to sell them into slavery. He had the right to kill them. He had the right to decide whether an infant would be exposed to the elements or live. It's horrendous, but it's true. And there would be no legal recourse. They were the absolute rulers of their family. But if they adopted someone, these adopted people were considered legally legitimate, and they received a new identity, new rights, and new responsibilities. So it was a lot easier to do all that bad stuff to your biological children than to children that you had adopted. or to young people, because they would be of an adult age. Some examples of adoption under Roman law were Emperor Augustus, who was adopted by Julius Caesar, Emperors Tiberius, Claudius, and Nero. All came to power through adoption. So that was a common thing then. But what Paul was saying was that we inherit. The rest of the verse says, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I love that. Daddy. Daddy. He's our daddy. This must have really blown the people that, Jewish people that Paul was writing to, blown their minds. That's not how they saw God, I don't think. Maybe some of them by faith, but that he's our daddy, that he loves us in that way. So who has Romans 8:16?
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Okay. Bears witness. There's a lot of words that are synonyms for that. He confirms. He corroborates. He proves. He shows. He testifies to. It's such a beautiful thing. But that word children of God there is a different Greek word than sons was. Sons back in the these are the sons of God. As many as are led by God are the sons of God. That was a Greek word called huios. And that means a son of adult legal age. So ready to inherit kind of sons. But here, the Spirit's bearing witness that we are the children of God, technos, that we're the biological children of God. Woo! So we're born again. We're God's biological children, kind of, to speak. We're immediately in his family, but we're also adopted to inherit all of that. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. We're born again when we believe in him, right then. I kind of looked up the Greek on that too, and it wasn't necessarily become children of God. That sounds like we're working hard and we're becoming children of God. That wasn't the sense of it. It was that we were given... It says the authority of God, the authority the children of God to be. So to be right then, children of God. Not because of making ourselves worthy. So Romans 8:17, who has that one to read?
Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him.
Yep. And that children there is technos again. That means biological children, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? We're joint heirs with Christ. What has Christ inherited?
Kingdom.
kingdom of God. What else has he inherited? And we're joint heirs with him. It's mind-blowing when you really think of that. I mean, I think this is going to take the rest of my life to try and unpack that. But it's true. We're joint heirs with him. I love the verses in Hebrews 1, 1 through 2. And then I'll skip down to 4. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And then skipping down to verse 4, it says, having become so much better than the angels, talking about Jesus, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we've inherited all things. We've also inherited his name. So what does that mean? Back then, a person's name was like the essence of who they were. It described the essence of who they were. It also carried the power and authority of that person. Even now, you know, old Westerns, it's like, open up in the name of the law. But it's the same, that power and authority. I've kind of stopped saying in Jesus' name at the end of my prayers. I've started saying things like, in the love and the power and the authority of Jesus, in the mercy and the grace, all of that, that's what we're praying in. It's just so powerful.
And that's a huge thing.
Yes.
Not in that pit anymore. That we're, like you said.
Yep. 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 It's the challenge is to walk in it, right?
Yeah.
But he keeps teaching us to do that. Yeah. I just love him for that. If indeed we suffer with him. John 15:20 says, remember the word that I said unto you. This is Jesus talking. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So that comes with it. I think most, if not all of you, have experienced that to some degree. But then the rest of the verse says that we may also be glorified together. So that's all part of it. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And trying to get a handle on that glory word is another lifetime thing. But sometimes we get a little taste of it. We see a sunset or a sunrise or something, and it's like glorious. But it's just, that's small compared to God's glory. Yeah. It's beyond imagination that we'll be glorified with him and be a part of that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That blows my mind too. But he is doing it. More into the image of Christ. In closing, I'd like to read 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the abundant mercy, his abundant mercy, has begotten us, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And as Lily Tomlin used to say, and that's the truth. Questions, comments?
I got a lot out of what you shared regarding the original words for children and adopted children. And it brought me back to last week when Nicole shared about how we're changed on like a DNA level. And so we receive this adoption, as you described, where we have these legal rights that even biological children don't have. But then as we were born again and transformed, like this, even this Peter verse you just read, transformed, then we become like him at a DNA level. And so, yeah, that really ministered to me. Like, we have both.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Teresa?
When you spoke about that we have taken Christ's name, the word that came to me was lineage, which is connection. And that connection to everyone in the past that has taken his name and everyone in the future that will take his name, that we're of the same lineage.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exciting stuff. Thanks, ladies.
Go ahead and bring it to your prayer groups.
All the scriptures. They're so awesome. Thank you for that. Is it off?
I don't know how to turn it on.